Hello, my name is Jenna, and welcome back to Psyche. For friends who are just joining us, this is a mental health and pop culture podcast. Every other episode will be mental health focused, while the others will primarily be on books, movies, shows, games, and more. If the episode contains sensitive topics or spoilers, I will put TW for trigger warning or SP for spoilers in the description with a brief summary of the topics discussed in that episode. It should be noted that my guests and I are not mental health professionals and that you should not think of us as such. If you are struggling in any way, please contact a mental health professional. Hello, welcome back. Today I have Hope with me.
Howdy.
And we're going to be talking about the anime movie Your Name, which was very, very popular.
Released in 2016.
Yeah, around then, I think.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I trust your memory more than mine.
Okay.
So this past Saturday, we watched the movie with our friend Hannah. Mm-hmm. I had read the manga a couple years ago, and I had been meaning to watch the movie, but just I'm lazy and forgetful and busy, so it just never happened. But
it happens, man.
Yeah.
Happens.
So we kind of took that night to just kind of chillax. We made some food and watched some Studio Ghibli and Your Name, and we got way too invested in this movie.
Oh my god, I cared so much. And I was almost crying at one point. So
in a way, it was almost kind of anticlimactic because they build it up to be like this romance and then they find each other finally and then it just cuts off.
Yeah.
But
that happens in a lot of anime where mm-hmm. there's no like, or at least, like, with, like, Western culture, it's, like, whenever, like, a movie ends, it's, like, okay, the romantic leads, they kiss each other, and then the movie ends. It's a very mm-hmm. definite ending. And so it's, like, Your Name left it very open. Like, they saw each other, like, standing on the stairs. One was at the bottom, one was at the top, and they were, like, I think I know you from somewhere. and then they pan up into the sky. And it's a very pretty ending, and it's nice, and it leaves it open-ended. So it's, like, okay, so you're assuming that they, like, they get together and they start their future and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, it's a very definite ending.
Yeah, and this one was very open-ended, which was very frustrating.
But that happens so often.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Anime. But for those of you who don't know, Your Name is a movie about a girl named Mitsuha from a town called Itamori in Japan, and a boy named Taki who lives in Tokyo. And one of the plot twists, so it kind of... basically, it starts out and they're switching bodies, which is that, you know, overused trope
that is usually for comedic device, but
this
kind of shows how they can get closer to each other as, like, in a more meaningful way than if you were just to explain your childhood and, like, your growing up and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, because they live each other's lives and have to kind of go through each other's struggles in a way. So it's different than... It doesn't feel like the same old, like, Freaky Friday kind of thing.
Right, which I usually get secondhand embarrassment from, so it was really nice not to have that.
Yeah, I mean, there were parts where it was really funny. Like, every morning that Taki wakes up and he's in Mitsuha's body, he always, like, just sits in her bed and feels her boobs, and it's just, like, it's just kind of goofy, but doesn't feel like cliche.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, and then later on in the movie you find out that Mitsuha is actually 3 years in the past and Taki is present day. So more or less Taki is trading bodies with a girl from the past and Mitsuha is trading bodies with a boy from the future. Which is confusing.
Yeah, I am still really lost on that part. It doesn't make sense. I get that they're in different timelines. But then I was sitting there thinking, after that, when they explained that she was 3 years in the past, where did his consciousness go? Like, it didn't... Because, like, if it was in the... So she was trading places with him when he was 3 years in the future, essentially. Mm-hmm. And in her present day. But he wasn't... Because he hadn't known her yet. So where did his consciousness go?
I think I know what you're asking. So you're asking, What, since Mitsuha is 3 years in the past,
yeah,
and she's trading bodies with this boy who's in the future, and he doesn't know that she exists yet.
Yes.
Where does his consciousness go before he trades bodies with her?
Yes.
Okay.
Because at that point, like, he had not traded bodies with her.
Yeah.
She went to a train station after, or she went to Tokyo after she had switched places with him, and she was...
She found him, and he didn't know her.
Yeah, he had no idea who she was, but she gave him the ribbon from her hair and told him her name, mm-hmm. and that was, like, that built a connection, so then, like, he then, after that, traded places with her.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
There's, like, several different timelines, and it makes it really confusing.
I would say that even though it's a really good story, and it's a really good movie, and honestly a really good manga series, there are holes in the plot that just, it's already confusing, and then when you consider those holes in it, it's even worse. So,
that, or I'm just too smooth-brained to understand it.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, it is possible that when she was in his body, that his consciousness just kind of went to sleep, and it just went, I'm gonna leave for the day.
But then her body would just be, like, laying limp there, like, in her bed.
That's so true. Like, oh my god. What the fuck?
And then, like, her sister would go into her room and be like, hey, Mitsuha, time to get up. And she'd be, like, just be laying there. This didn't happen in the movie, but I'm assuming this would happen if this was the situation.
If any of you have seen The Good Place, this is a Jeremy Baramee situation, and it is terrible. It's so bad. Okay, we're just not going to think about it. Okay. We're just not going to think about it.
Just ignore it.
It's not a thing. No, it's hurting my brain. But other than that, it was a good movie.
It was a good movie. I, like, they had a nice, like, juxtaposition between the two characters of, you know, he's very modern. He lives in Tokyo. It's very urban setting, whereas she's from a small town that's very traditional. She practices the Shinto religion.
And she makes the mouth-chewed sake.
Yeah.
And which...
Yeah, they do a lot of, like, traditional...
Yeah. And it's very... So her country, no, her city is very much out in the country, very traditional, rural, quiet. They don't have it at the beginning of the movie. It shows her with her friends, and they're, like, driving around, and they're making fun of the fact that they only have, like, one ramen place.
Oh my god, that made me laugh so much, because just thinking about it, they were like, oh, let's go to a cafe. They're like, where's a cafe that we can go to? And they were just sitting on a bench next to a vending machine, like, get a copy from that. And I was like, that feels way too relatable to me.
Yeah, and then I can't relate to that, but
oh my god, are we Mitsuha and Tati?
I guess we are, from the small town and the big city.
Yep.
The big city of Columbus, where we have
the bright lights.
Yes, the city that never sleeps.
Oh my god. Because of college, she was just screaming all the time.
Yeah. Oh my god. But anyways, so you find out the big plot twist where it's like, actually no, okay, you don't find that out until way later, but
I like how you're like, wait, no, you don't find it out, and they're like, people listening are like, wait, I have no idea why.
Yeah, we're explaining this very poorly because we don't understand it fully.
I'm very dumb.
We're both very, very smooth brained,
yeah,
and it's fine, but basically, what I'm taking from it, if I can explain it, if I can successfully explain the plot. Okay, you wake up. No, wait, you don't wake up. Mitsuha wakes up. She's feeling her boobs. You think that it's the boy because you know that it's a story about them switching bodies, but it's not. It's just Mitsuha. And for some reason, she decided to feel her boobs that morning.
You know, it happens sometimes.
And then she goes to her friends and they're like, oh, you're normal today. Like, haha.
Ha-ha.
And she's like, what are you talking about?
And everyone's like, you seemed possessed yesterday.
Which she was.
Sort of.
And, like, you just kind of see her daily life. And she's, like, the daughter of the mayor of the town. Her dad is very, very
bad.
Bad.
He's not a good dad.
He's just bad.
She definitely has daddy issues.
Yes, yes. Mm.
Oh, no. No, no. We're not going to do that.
Small Japanese woman with daddy
issues.
No,
we're not doing that to her. Don't.
Anyways. And then
eventually it shows her in Taki's body, and she lives through a day as Taki, and then it shows them going back and forth. And what they do to communicate with each other is they leave each other notes on their phones, and he writes on her hand, like, what's your name, or, like, who are you, or something. And then in her notebook, too, they just basically vandalize each other's bodies and write in each other's phones.
Right.
For some reason, neither of them picked up on... Okay, so, like, when you look at your phone, it says the day, the month, and the year.
Yeah.
So why didn't they see, like, oh, this is 3 years in the future?
Didn't think about that either.
Or, oh, this is 3 years in the past. Or, like, if you go to school, you
to
know,
to be
like,
fair, though, when they first switched bodies, they thought, oh, this is the dream. Like, she just was like, oh, it's a dream, yeah. And I'm at a cafe, I can buy whatever I want. And he was like, stop spending my money.
Yes, this is true. It's just, there are definitely, like, little things where I'm like, are you too stupid? But,
Taki never learned, like, this comes in later. He never learned the name of the city, of the town, until he goes
looking
for
her.
But, like, you wouldn't have, like, heard it or seen it on a sign somewhere, like, once you were there. I don't know.
You would think that, like, you would know, but whatever.
I mean,
So, after...
We kind of have other things to focus on in this situation.
So, after, you know, they kind of go through all that, it says that they randomly stop switching bodies. And then it focuses a little bit more on Taki. And he goes on this big quest to find his girl.
The hero's journey.
Yes. He has two sidekicks.
Exactly.
And he runs into a kind woman who tells him where to find Itamori.
Yep. It was a small town that this one man who owned a restaurant used to live in. And he... used to live in it. Key word.
Used to live there. Yes. So then he gets to Itamori. Well, actually, he has these drawings because he sketched out the city before he forgot what it looked like. And so he shows them the pictures and they're like, oh yeah, this is Itamori. And he's like, oh, I have to get there. And they both just kind of look at him like, are you dumb? And basically he finds out that 3 years ago, there was a meteor that struck this town and completely destroyed it, and there were no survivors.
Yeah, which...
Or actually, there were survivors.
It was, like, 500 were dead or missing.
Yeah, something like that.
But since it was a small town, I'm assuming that's, like... It was one-third of the population.
Yes. There.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, but that town had already been struck by a meteor, like, 1,200 years ago, and that's what made this big lake in the center
of the town. The structure of the town, there's, like, a lake with... basically, it's around this big lake, and the lake was formed from a meteor that hit before it, however many years, Hope said, and then...
Like 1,200.
Yeah, and then it happened again.
Yep, some parallels going on there.
Yes. History repeats itself.
Wow,
yum, yum.
Crazy.
So, he finds out that 500 died, so he goes and he finds, like, the death records, and Mitsuha's name is listed as one of the dead. And he has a crisis, and so did we.
Yeah, I said, no, she can't be dead. And I almost started crying.
And then from there, it just kind of goes into, like, he switches bodies with her again somehow.
Yeah.
And sets up this whole plot to save the town.
Yeah, because, which I thought it was pretty smart, though, because it's, like, since he's from the future, he knows where the meteor is going to hit and all that kind of stuff, so he can get everyone to the opposite side of the town with a fake bomb threat.
Beautiful. Actually, no, they did set off dynamite.
Oh, they did. It wasn't fake. Yeah. It was a real bomb.
Threat. Yeah. They really bombed us.
They did. Hey, you know what?
Committing war crimes? It's fine.
You have to save everybody's life somehow. And, like...
I guess, destroying the power grid of the town is...
I mean, hey, everyone's alive after
that. That's true.
Spoiler, he succeeded. So.
Yes. It's just very confusing. So that's, like, the basic plot. When I say basic, there's nothing basic about this plot at all.
I was going to say, he sort of succeeded. He went back. So, okay. His last day in Mitsuha's body, he goes to this temple or the shrine that the grandma and
Okay, so earlier in the movie,
we're taken care of.
Earlier in the movie, they explained that Mitsuha's father left her in the care of their grandmother, and their grandmother practices the Shinto traditions, which means that they chew up rice and make that mouth chewed sake. And so they show them taking these jars of their sake to a shrine.
Yeah, and part of, like, they're the caretakers of this shrine and the temple and everything there.
And when they do take, so Mitsuha isn't actually the one who takes the sake to the shrine. It's Taki in Mitsuha's body.
Yeah. So, anyway, when he gets to the town, he's like, oh, no. And then he just remembers the last day that he had in her body. So he books it to the shrine.
Yes.
And then drinks the sake that she made.
Mm.
he drank he her takes spit. A
nice. He takes a nice little shot.
Of her spit.
Yep.
Rice and spit.
Yes, her chewed up rice.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
And at this point in the movie, really cool visuals. I mean, the entire time it's beautiful, but really cool visuals.
It's a very glimmery movie. Yes.
And it takes him back to the day, or, like, it sets the town, like, the timeline changes, so then the, like, everyone is in the day that the comet is going across the sky.
So,
and this festival is happening. And
oh, fun.
Oh, there's some
tornado sirens. Yeah. It's Wednesday, my dudes. Give us one moment. And we're back after a very long tornado siren testing.
And a dog howling.
I have never heard Bindi make that noise before.
Yeah,
but
it was so deep.
Yeah.
Her small little stature.
It sounded, okay, because I've literally never heard her make that noise before. And as soon as the tornado sirens ended, Hope went like, and then Bindi just goes, like, I can't even.
You know, try to imitate it, like,
but she was clearly trying to, like, call to the dog. That was the tornado siren, and it was so fucking funny. She's staring at me like, I know you're talking about me.
Her ball is hanging out of her mouth just by one little felt.
Yes. Anyways, I don't remember exactly what we were talking about.
I have no idea what just...
But that was so worth it. So anyways, your name.
Great.
Okay, so he drinks the sake and then is transported to... He, like, reestablishes the connection with her and is transported back in time.
But then... So, they're transported back in time. Then, Mitsuha is alive, and it's the day of this festival, and the same day as the comet that is passing over them, and it's all very exciting, a lot of excitement in the town. And then she goes to her friends, and she's like, I know this is gonna sound crazy.
But we're all gonna die.
We're all gonna die. And, but this is, at this point...
It's Taki.
It's Taki in her body. But then, she, like... goes to the place where the shrine is, and then they meet at twilight, because then it's, like, not day, not...
It's well, like I think it's, like, it's the, like, dawn and dusk are very symbolic of, like,
two separate things.
It's, like...
Or, I don't know.
It's when the day and night meet kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, very symbolic. Also, I'm still thinking about Bindi's little...
Okay. Anyways. I'll keep trying to explain it. So, they meet at twilight then, and they write each other's, or they go to write each other's names on their hands, so that way they won't forget. But Taki gave, well, it's
okay,
Mitsuha
so,
in Taki's body, gave the ribbon back to Taki in Mitsuha's body.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
yes.
Then they go to write their names, but then... They suddenly disappear. Mitsuha is back in her time, where, like, the day of the festival and the comet. And he and Taki's back in his body.
And there's just a line
time.
Drawn on his hand because Mitsuha didn't have time to write her name.
Yeah, and when he gave the ribbon back, it, like, broke the bond that they had.
Yeah.
Because she gave him the ribbon the day on the train that she bumped into him, but he didn't know who she was yet.
Yes.
I don't know if I mentioned this. But if we mentioned that earlier or not, but...
I'm assuming we did, but...
I don't know, just in case.
Just
I don't know what I
if
said.
If you hadn't picked up on this already, it's a very confusing movie.
Yes.
But, yeah, so then he saves the town because they set off a fake bomb somewhere, And, or no, that was before.
That was before, yeah.
So then Mitsuha takes over the whole saving the town process. And she goes and confronts her dad. And then...
Because he is the mayor.
Yes, he's the mayor.
We did not mention that. He is the mayor of the town. He's the mayor.
And they save everyone. Like, everyone, they evacuate everyone to
the high school
building, which is on the opposite side of where the meteor was going to strike. And so they saved everyone, and then it kind of goes forward in time.
Yeah, but then, so after the town is saved, and that connection is broken, they never switch bodies again. And then they... So they never switch bodies again. Sorry, I keep getting distracted by Bindi.
She just gave a little.
Okay, so they never switch bodies again, but they like sort of forget what had happened, and
yeah.
So then,
yeah, their memories of it are like completely erased.
Yeah, but then they see each other. It's 12 years into the future now. Yeah, they've graduated from college and all that.
Taki's trying to find a job, and Mitsuha is living in Tokyo now.
Yeah, and they're on two different
trains
that pass each other going opposite directions, and they see each other through the window.
And it's really dramatic, and they look so sad.
I know. And then they just have that overwhelming feeling of, I've seen this person before. Yeah. How do I know them?
Yeah.
And that's when it ends. Well, then they find each other.
Yeah.
And then it ends with them on the staircase. And they're like, I think I know you. And they're like, wow, I think I know you.
They're like,
too.
Have we met before? And then they're crying, and then it pans out and credit.
And she has the ribbon in her hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So. Well, yeah, you can't forget that part.
No, that's a pretty big part of the movie,
actually. Yeah. So it's very much an anime. Very confusing.
Very much an anime.
Yes.
But it's really good.
It is really good. Like, honestly, the art style. So good.
So beautiful.
It's very, like, glimmery. Mm-hmm. So it's very colorful and bright.
Yeah.
There's a lot of detail, and it's almost surreal.
Yeah.
Because there are anime that do their best to kind of focus in on, like, the way things really are.
Yeah.
And it's very, like, dry, or there are some, like, Studio Ghibli, which are just very relaxing. And this one is just very, very bright and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very pleasant.
It is. It's... Just, I keep thinking of the scene where it's showing the comet go over mm-hmm. the sky, and it shows, like, Taki, like, turning around, like, staring up at the sky,
yeah.
and then it switches to Mitsuha just staring up at the sky, like, mm-hmm. before it zooms in on her eye,
yeah.
where she can see the comet coming down, and...
Because,
like, you never actually see the comet hit.
You just see Mitsuha it through, like, watching it, and then it's kind of heading towards her.
Yeah.
So it just, it's implied, but...
Yeah, there is, like, one explosion that you see, I think, but
yeah.
that's, I don't remember where they show it, or...
Yeah.
But in this scenario...
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the artwork, beautiful. The soundtrack,
oh my
amazing.
God. Gorgeous.
So good. Honestly, there were a few parts where I felt like the music kind of overtook everything, like... There were a few scenes where my senses were just overwhelmed because it was so bright, so
yeah.
colorful, and the music was so loud.
Yeah, I feel like the music is what made me feel so emotionally connected to the
yes.
movie, because it made me feel so overwhelmed, and
yes.
I was just watching the series, and I was, like, biting my, like, thumb, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, no, it was very, in some ways, it very much brings you in more, because
yeah.
if you weren't already intrigued by everything else, then the music sets the tone.
Very much so.
And yeah, it was really good. And then honestly, in a weird way, it was like comforting, because it was definitely like a romance, it was a drama, it was tragic, it was very, very frustrating for like an hour, but it's more because you're like really rooting for these two people to meet, and they haven't really met, and so they do meet at the end, and it's relieving. And as we, I don't know if we talked about this before, but it's left very open-ended.
Yeah, I think we mentioned
yes.
that.
Yes, so, you know, usually there's, like, a kiss or something, and then it's like, ah, they are together,
that
romantically.
We know that. That's how they end. They spend the rest of their life together,
yeah.
that kind of stuff. But
it was very, very open-ended.
Yeah, it stopped with, I think I know you from somewhere. That's not the exact line, but that's pretty much what they were saying.
Yeah.
Like,
and then just and then up. They're crying. But yeah. I think it's nice because, like, if you don't want them to be together romantically, you can imagine that they never happened romantically.
Which, you're insane if that's true.
Yes, I would definitely lock you in insane asylum because this is so fucking cute. But if you want them to, you know, live happily ever after, you can imagine that as well. Yeah. And what's really interesting is that the thing, we forgot to mention this. So when Taki is in Mitsuha's body, the grandmother, so Mitsuha's grandmother looks at her and sees through. Yeah. And she says, like,
she says something along the lines of, like, you're not yourself.
Or yeah. Or like that. Are you like you're dreaming, something like that.
Yeah.
And
that it had happened to her too when she was younger. And yeah. her mom.
Yes. And, her dad, when Taki goes to confront him, because Taki goes to confront him before Mitsuha does, and she stands up to him, and the dad says, who are you?
Yeah.
Because I assume that this happened to him and their mother, which is very interesting to think that it would be kind of generations of this happening, and that's how
and it's like
their ancestors met.
Yeah, and the way that the movie implied it, I think, or the, maybe the way I interpret it, is that, like, it happens within Mitsuha's mother's side of the family. That's just, like, it's a strain. It's happened, like, for generations.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, which is really interesting, because from a scientific perspective...
what gene is this?
It's like, okay, is this, like, a lucid dreaming gene? Like, what the fuck is happening?
Am I gonna have to make a pie square again?
Yes, oh my god. We're back to genetics with Hope. welcome to our new segment.
I was only a STEM major for three semesters.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So here we are.
Yeah, no.
Finally using it for good, putting it to good use.
Putting it to good use with mermaids and vampires and body switchers. But yeah, it's very cute for a good part of it because the two main characters, they, like, kind of bicker in each other's bodies. So they go back and forth because Taki's like, stop spending my money. And Mitsuha's like, stop feeling my boobs. And
like, stop ruining my life.
Yeah, stop ruining my life.
He, like, kicked over paint or something when somebody was, like, making fun of her. And he was like, nah, I'm not going to take this in her body. And he, like, embarrassed her in front of everyone. Yeah,
well, he stands up for Mitsuha, which Mitsuha is very much used to being quiet, staying in the background, not drawing a lot of attention to herself.
Yeah, and people seem to walk over her because of it.
Yeah. Well, she gets negative attention, so she just doesn't want any attention at all because...
I guess that's what I mean by they walk over her.
They show her... there's a scene where she and her sister are making the mouth-chewed sake, and they show two of her classmates standing in the crowd watching this ceremony and making fun of her. Or she's walking by her dad, who's giving a speech because he's the mayor.
Yeah,
and he, like, calls her out and he goes, Mitsuha, stand up straight.
Right. And then there was something else about, like, she was, since in that same scene when she was walking to school, it was with two of her friends, and they were like, wow, who would have thought the mayor's kid and the contractor's kids are friends or something like that? And I don't know how that is a dig, but they said it really,
it's like, very
condescending. So.
But basically, you know, Mitsuha is used to just not sticking up for herself, letting people walk over her because she doesn't want more attention than she already gets. And Taki stands up for her. Yeah. And it's really funny because for a good portion of the movie, I was like, are they going to make Mitsuha, like, gay? Because...
Oh my god, yeah!
Yeah, because okay, so...
So, Taki has a crush on this girl that he works with, and she is a baddie.
Yeah, no, she's absolutely fucking the best. Yeah. And Mitsuha, more or less, like, flirts with her and stuff and gets her to go on a date with Taki. And she writes to Taki, like, yeah, I really wanted to go on this date, but, like, if you go, like, please, like, you know, whatever. And
I mean, I know, like, they show the scene that she's like, I wanted to go on that date or something, and she's, like, crying in the mirror. And I know it's more of, like, oh, she's in love with Taki, and that's the moment that she realizes it. But it's, like, it's still, like, okay.
It's still
that's a little sapphic.
It's a little confusing. Because also, I really thought they were gonna, like, go that direction in the movie because one of the first things you learn about Mitsuha is that she hates her life, and so she screams kind of into the distance, like, I hate my life, I wish I was a handsome boy in Tokyo.
Oh, that's true, I forgot.
And so I was very much like, I wonder what they're gonna do with this. And then she is a handsome boy in Tokyo, and she, like, gets Taki a date and everything. Yeah. And then she gets back to her own body, and Taki has basically been flirting with all the girls in her class. and so she's like, why do all these girls have a crush on me? And I thought, like, I wouldn't have minded that, but...
Oh, yeah, okay, I was thinking, Mitsuha was... Yeah, she was flirting with guys in Taki's body. No, girls in Taki's body. Yeah. But then, Taki was just being himself, like, being really good at sports and, like, being, like, super chill and all
and
that.
And then all the girls were like, oh, my gosh.
No, all the guys were, like, really into Mitsuha or something like that.
No, they were girls.
They were girls?
Yeah, because basically, Taki's a guy, right? So he, like, when he was in Mitsuha's body, he still acted like himself, like a cool guy and everything. Right. And so the girls were attracted to his personality.
But
there is a scene where a bunch of girls go up to him when he's in Mitsuha's body, and they're like, oh my gosh, like,
I do not remember that.
How do you not remember that? It's so funny.
I don't know. I just remember when they had her, like, playing sports or like, a sport or something, and, like, she jumped, and, like, her chest bounced, and then, like,
basically,
a bunch of guys were staring at her.
Yeah,
like,
basically
that.
Everyone in her class, like, boys and girls, are super into her when she's talky.
Yeah.
So, it's really funny, but, that's... I was, like, I was really not sure where they were going with all of that for a while.
Yeah.
Because I did, like, her seem so gay.
Yeah. I just thought she was in love with, I can't remember the other character's name.
Taki?
Not Taki. No, the girl.
The girl.
That Taki worked with.
Miss... Someone.
Yeah.
Yes. The waitress girl.
She was really hot.
Yeah. But it's a very cute story.
It is very
It's cute. Very cute. And then it really quickly goes from cute to tragic and frustrating.
Oh, so
so fast. Quickly.
It is a 180 switch.
Yes. But anyways, we are going to end it here.
Okay.
Because it is almost seven and
oh my god.
And we were gonna go swimming. Yep. So basically, watch your name. There's not a whole lot more that we would have to say about it anyways,
right?
Because it's just such a confusing movie.
Yeah, but it's so good. It is worth the watch.
Oh yes, definitely.
Yeah.
You can rent it on Amazon, I think. It was like $4
Prime, yeah.
Something like that.
In HD though. I don't know what it would be in SD.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was probably a really really awesome movie.
10 out of 10, I recommend it. I will be watching it again by myself in a dark room and then crying over it and after that. So,
you know what? I respect it. I'm going to do the same thing because that's what we do.
Exactly.
All right. I'll see you guys next time.